Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive, a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. And I want to tell all of you that are our return listeners, thank you for returning today. You only get one chance to be a first-time listener. And after that, whether you come back one time or many times, we consider you a part of and welcome you as a part of our listening family over the internet. And we just want to thank you today for allowing us to be part of your devotional life, to give you not only inspiration, but information, vital information, information that is vital to victory from the Word of God today. How many people in this audience? I want to challenge you and ask you before we announce the title of our sermon today. How many people in this audience want to live in victory, not just because you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, or you're tired of the bondage, or you're tired of not receiving all that is promised in the Word of God? How many want to live in victory, to bring honor to your God and your King and your Savior, Jesus Christ? If you are satisfied to live as some are, in defeat, and never have a testimony that will bring glory and honor to our great God, our gracious God, and our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, then it's going to be very difficult for this teaching to do any good in your life. Amen. Someone put it this way to a man or woman with Limburger cheese on his upper lip: the whole world stinks. Well, we want to get this stinking thinking out of our hearts, and out of our minds, and out, and the effect of it out of our lives. We have been called to victory. The God that saved us has provided for us in and through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, all that we need to walk in victory and not be defeated by our enemy, the devil, hallelujah, or the world, or the flesh. So if you have your Bibles, if you would open to the book of Psalms, Psalm 106 and verse 47. And we're going to be talking to you today and preaching the sermon, Triumphant Praise, the Battle Cry of the Believer. Triumphant Praise, the Battle Cry of the Believer. Listen to what it says here. And this is all about the place of worship, and in particular, praise as a part of that worship, and the effect it has on us, the effect it has on God when we offer it from our heart and through our mouth and by our faith, and the effect it has on the enemy of our soul, the devil. Hallelujah. Listen to Psalm 106 and verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Hallelujah. To triumph in thy praise. Now, the giving of thanks, we do pretty good. I think we could do a lot better. I know we all need to be thankful every single day of our life. Thanksgiving shouldn't be a one-time event once a year that we emphasize it. The giving of thanks is part and parcel of the reason we worship and to honor and express gratitude to the one that we worship. But triumphing in praise is a militant, military type of term. The actual word here, triumph, and the actual word for praise here is ruah, and it means to mar by breaking, to split the ear with sound, to shout for joy. This is not your typical Sunday morning service. Now, we in the Pentecostal realm, we used to lay claim to that. Why seek the living among the dead? There are so many services that are so filled with routine and so filled with ritual that no real joyous praise amplified. It's not the noise, but it when you're glad and you express that gladness and you have faith in God and you express that faith by praising Him. Great is the Lord, the Scripture says, and He's greatly to be praised. In other words, the way we praise Him, the kind of praise we offer unto Him is going to reveal our vision of Him, our understanding of Him. Our praise should match our appreciation for how great God truly is. Hallelujah. And we should realize as we praise Him that greater is He, therefore, that is in us than he that is in the world. And because of that, we can praise Him for victory before the victory is even manifest, triumphing first in praise. Remember Paul and Silas, thrown in the Roman jail, held over for whatever was awaiting them the next day. At midnight, in that jail, waiting for whatever fate that man decided they were going to impose on them, including the possibility of martyrdom, killing them. There they are at midnight. They prayed. They prayed. But they didn't just pray. It said they prayed and sang praises unto God. And it wasn't while they were praying. It's while they were singing praises that there was a shaking, like an earthquake shaking that prison. And the doors came open of their own accord. Oh, I want to bring a detail into that out of the book of Acts. It said, and all that were in the prison heard them. They heard them praying. They heard how they prayed, to whom they prayed, and they heard how they worshiped after they prayed. And part and parcel of that worship was a triumphant praise unto God. Without anything changing immediately in their circumstance, they are triumphantly offering ruah, praise unto God. If you were in the army, it would be hoorah as part of your battle cry. In the Marines, it would be oorah. But both is similar, really, going back without even looking at any roots of these sayings that came along in the services. It's going back to a battle cry type of praise for a spiritual warrior that is involved in spiritual warfare to cry out. This kind of praise breaks yokes with the high praises of God in our mouth and a sword in our hand. Princes and kings will be bound with fetters. That is a different kind of praise than singing a particular song over and over until it's just become redundant, it's become commonplace, and there's no stimulation further in our heart to shout the shout of victory. Amen. This is a shout for joy. That's what they were told to do. Oh, by the way, let me finish that story in the book of Acts. You can read it. Amen. And I'll give you the scripture, hopefully, before we're through, if we have time. But the scriptures are very clear that when those doors came open, the jailer came, and he knew this is supernatural. He knew these men are different than any of the prisoners that were being held in there. They had been taught praising God. Everybody heard them praising and praying and then praising, sealing their prayer with ruah, praise. Hallelujah. They were shouting victory, therefore. Amen. That's an Old Testament term that we're using here in Psalm 101. 106. It's the kind of praise that brings down walls of circumstance and walls of opposition. Amen. They were told, walking around Jericho when the ark going before them, they were told to shout, for God has given you the city. There wasn't a crack in the wall. They were hurling insults, I'm sure, from those great walls that seemed so impregnable. But when they shouted by faith, this praise unto God by faith, those walls fell down flat. Hallelujah. Based on this scripture I'm reading you today, we used to sing, shout unto God. All you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Let me explain the difference between victory and triumph. Victory is when an enemy is defeated. Can we all agree on that? When you overcome an enemy, you get victory over him. Triumph is the celebration of a victory already won. Triumph is the celebration of a victory already won. If we're going to triumph in praise, we're not praising to get the victory. We're praising Him because we've got the victory. Because God has provided that victory. Listen to what it says. And death is what, in Psalm, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it begins to read, gets down to the verses 14, 15, 16. Here's what it says. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, because as, listen, I know this old body's going to drop one of these days. This old bone bag's going to drop and our soul is going to ascend to the presence of God, awaiting for the resurrection of our body and the rejoining of our soul to that body. Hallelujah. That's going to live with God forever. You say, preacher, what about people blown up in an explosion that have died in the ocean and they have been eaten up by the fishes and sharks and have died in the woods and all these circumstances where there's not even any bones left. Well, God doesn't need the bones. We're not like the Egyptians that need to mummify a body and kill a bunch of servants and put them in there so when He resurrects, there'll be turning, when He comes back to life, there will be plenty of people to serve Him. Listen, friend of mine, we're not into all of that phony baloney belief systems of false gods. We have a God who is able to do the impossible. He's got your DNA, He's got my DNA, and He can take that DNA and reconstruct our body that we lived in here, and He doesn't need a grave with some kind of rotting corpse in it that He can reconstitute. I don't think I'd want to be back in that thing anyhow, unless it was reconstituted. He just makes everything new. So this idea of yes, the dead are going to rise, but you don't have to be sitting out at a cemetery to see that happen. It's going to happen. Amen. Without the use of all of that stuff. You say, how can that possibly be? Because God is able to subdue everything unto Himself. The first thing you got to give God, amen, is that He is the God of the impossible. That's why it says, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could think or ask, all that we could imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. Praise God. For the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, indwelling the believer, and the power of faith when we believe that truth about Him. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him that believeth. Scripture said very clearly in that faith chapter in the New Covenant, Hebrews chapter 11, they that come to God God must believe that He is. He exists, and He is the great I Am of the Old Covenant. Amen. The eternal, almighty, omnipotent God that we serve, with whom nothing is impossible. I love the beginning of that revelation in the Old Covenant when Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God." Oh yeah, he had to say it that way. Something this impactful, something this truth so powerful about God's unlimited power. Ah, he was awestruck. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made heaven and earth by thine outstretched hand, and therefore, because you have that kind of power and ability at your disposal, nothing is too hard for thee. We need to give that to God instead of limiting Him by our ability to figure it all out in our mind. Friend of mine, this is beyond my pay grade and yours. He's able to do exceedingly, not a little bit, not a lot, but way beyond anything that we could think or possibly imagine, according to His Spirit that does that mighty work, that is living now inside you. Inside, do you have on your shouting shoes this morning? Is this too strong for you this morning? Would you rather have a lollipop on Sunday morning? Would you have like to have a bowl of pablum on Sunday morning at this late date, when God is counting on you and I to be His ambassadors, His witnesses, His salt and His light in the world? Listen, it's time to grow up. It's time to get up. It's time to stand up. It's time to believe God for the humanly impossible and thereby take the limit off of God. You say, well, man can't limit God. No, they can't oppose Him and stop Him, but we cannot believe Him and in that respect not allow Him to do what He has purposed in and through us as individuals. That is clear. And back in the book of Psalms, when it says, how oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness? Yea, they turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. He wasn't able to take that generation where He brought them out of Egypt to take them, because they turned back and disbelieved and limited Him. We're warned about that event in Hebrews, in the New Testament, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Amen. In departing from the living God. That involves losing faith in the living God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's why triumphant praise should be offered as a celebration of a victory already won. Where was it won? It was won at the cross. It was won by Jesus Christ. It was won for you. It was won for me. That's why the Apostle Paul said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory concerning himself and us, all believers? Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oorah! This is ruah praise, and it means to mar by breaking, to split the ear with sound. When they were walking around Jericho, amen, for that last time, by faith, that there was not a crack in the wall. There was nothing to indicate anything was happening, but they were told to do something by sheer faith. Shout. Listen. Why? For God has, not God will. But when God willed it, as far as He's concerned, it's done. And we should understand that God is a God who calls the things not as though they were. Now, we don't do that by the authority of the believer. We do that by the authority of God's Word. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, it's not settled when I believe it. That's when it can be manifest to me. It's settled when God says it. The Scripture is very clear. Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. That's why we're to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it's settled in heaven. Whatever He has settled in heaven, He wants to release right here on this planet, and He does it through His children, His covenant children, His blood-bought children. That's why He fills us with the Spirit. Not why so we can join some spiritually elite group of believers, but so that He can work His work from a base of operations within His Spirit-filled church today. No wonder the devil fights that filling with the Holy Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, when that occurs, you will not just receive the Holy Spirit as a seal of ownership that you belong to Me, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto Me, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. If this kickback was coming from the world, we would understand it. But a lot of it is coming through a church world that says, we have the Bible, we have great educational systems, we have ingenuity and programs. We don't need the supernatural manifestation of spiritual gifts. We don't need all of these power things. All we need is what we have, and we're happy with it. And don't tell us that we don't have enough. We got all there is and there ain't no more. That's my language, but that's exactly the stand that has been and is even being reinforced today. I'm going to submit to you that we need the manifest presence and power of God more today than we have ever needed it in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the enemy has pulled out all of the stops. It's going to come to its apex during the tribulation period. But right now, the Bible said Satan will come down during the tribulation. What is stimulating him to bring everything he's got against God and His people is this great fact and truth that we need to get a hold of. The devil knows it. The demons know it. We need to get a hold of it. This sense of urgency. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth during that period, for Satan hath come down unto you. Knowing this, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Having great wrath, because he knows he has, this is his last opportunity to get his lick in and hurt people. You say, well, the judgments are being brought by God. Yes, but he's the one that has brought people to this hardened heart place where God has no alternative to those who have trodden underfoot the testimony of Jesus, the blood of the everlasting covenant. And friend of mine, it's this tempter, it's this deceiver, it's the god of this world that's blinded the minds of men lest they would see the glory of the gospel. And he couldn't do it without man's cooperation. If the heart wasn't engaged in rebellion against God, that could never occur. Satan doesn't hold that authority. He's using something that's already occurring, and that is in that base element of man's spirit where iniquity abides and abounds. There is a rebellion and a pushback against God, against His Christ and our Savior, against the message of salvation. That's why there is such turmoil all over the world because and psychologists and sociologists are trying, and the think tanks of the great intellectuals are trying to figure out what it is in the human psyche that causes someone to go out and do what we're seeing today in this perilous or outrageous time that we are living in. And many times when they quiz these people, they're looking for triggers. They're looking for motive. They're looking for, why did you do this? Why would a young high school student, why would he stab multiple times a beautiful cheerleader? Why do that? Was it jealousy? Was it envy? Was it some problem they had with each other? You know what he said? As an excuse, the only thing he could come up with because of his own confusion of, I'm not defending him. I'm saying there is evil in this world. There is an evil one in this world. And just going through the same ritualistic routines called our morning services all over the world is not going to counteract that. This is a spiritual battle, and we need to be able to win this battle on every front if we're going to see souls brought out of that darkness. And they can be brought out of that darkness, but it's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of organized religion without the Holy Spirit. It's going to come not through denominations that become so holy that everyone's going to envy them and want what they have. No, that's not how it's going to come. Blind men can't see. They need a deliverance from the blindness, and they need that through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And He has invested that person and that power in the church, the true church. Every believer has access to being filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Not just having the Spirit, but the Spirit of God having you. That's what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Dear friend of mine, we need this power today. We need to triumph in His praise. They shouted this ruah to split the ear with sound. That's what it says in the Old Covenant. That word shout means to split the ear with sound. I'm going to read that to you. Oh, I'm not advocating just amplifying. I'm not just saying get loud. I'm saying just let it be real and from the heart, and let it come out your mouth. They all heard them. It must have been amplified in that prison when God opened all the doors, and the prison keeper came and fell at the apostles' feet, and Paul and Silas, and they're going to kill me. Everybody's escaped. And you know what Paul and Silas said? They're all right here. They experienced the power of God, and even these hardened criminals didn't run for it. The doors came open. They didn't run for it. They were absolutely overcome and overwhelmed by what they were experiencing, the manifest presence of God to deliver and to set free, captivated them and captured them. They didn't need prison bars to keep them there. The presence and power of God was moving. Amen. And I don't believe, and this is not telling every detail. I'm going to not add to the word, but I sincerely believe it wasn't just the Philippian jailer that got saved that day and went home and brought his household to Christ. Amen. I believe a lot, if not all, of those people who saw what happened and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in that jail. Amen. I believe many of them repented of their sin, if not all of them. God did a mighty thing that day, and we need this mighty God who changes not to show up and show out in this day so that we can grab the attention, glory to God of people that are on their way to hell and see them change roads and turn from darkness to light, from Satan to God, from sin to Christ, so that he can save them. Listen, Joshua 6:16 through and verse 20. And it came to pass at the seventh time, marching around, you see, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord will give you the city, may give you the city, might give you the city. No, for the Lord hath given you the city. This had to be a shout of faith, a shout by faith. Hallelujah. When they came up and saw that city that no one had ever been able to take by force, the first thing God said to Joshua was, see, I have given you the city of Jericho. I have given you. I want to emphasize that. I want to put it in parenthesis. I want to underline it and highlight it. Hallelujah. See, I have given you the city and all the people within it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he, believing God for that, told them to go ahead and shout. I got God's word on this. Go ahead and shout as if the city had just been taken, for he's given you this city, so shout like that. Verse 20 said, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout. This is ruah praise. The word shout here means to split the air with sound. I believe, and it's indicated, implied here, that their shout was louder than the blast of a trumpet. That when they shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Hallelujah. You got a wall that needs to come down, a barrier to your blessings, a barrier to your victory. Shout if you're a Christian, for God has given you that victory in and through Jesus Christ. Don't wait to praise God for that victory. Hallelujah. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Hallelujah. This is the application of ruah praise in battle. Triumphant praise. It's the triumphant cry of faith that both praises God and breaks the resistance of the enemy simultaneously. It incorporates the worship of God and faith in God, allowing God to honor our faith by demonstrating his glory and his power. Glory to the Lord. Amen. I got one more thing I've got to read to you before we close today. Psalm 149. Let's read it together. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints, so praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Someone said, if praise makes the devil nervous, we ought to give him a nervous breakdown. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you were in the army today and you were excited about getting the victory, there would be a triumphant, a triumphant, triumphant statement, hoorah. And if you were in the Marines, it would be oorah, hallelujah. And we ought to have a ruah for God today. We can't sit back, be stagnant, believe the lie of the devil that we're the stalemate, we're losing. Oh, I know the organized church in many denominations are losing ground. I'm talking about the church that's part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the blood-bought children of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the people that He can use today for this mighty revival just before the coming of Christ, just before the tribulation falls upon the world. This mighty ingathering that I believe that I have lived long enough to see and will live long enough to see at the very least the beginning of it. I hope I'm here to see it occur in all the nations of the world. But it's going to occur through those that He has called to manifest that victory. And today I'm praying that we will be challenged by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to have the high praises of God in our mouth, to not wait to shout, not wait to see anything but the promise in the Word of God, the statement that God has made, and then we have prayed, Thy will be done on earth. Let it happen. Let it manifest what You have spoken from heaven and purposed in heaven. Let that be done right here on this old planet that needs You like never before. Set the captive free. Break the yoke of those in bondage. Open the eyes of those that sit in darkness in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God the Father today. Dear saint of God today, are you content to live your life in the mediocrity of just going through the same motions? There may be songs that you enjoy. There may be a praise team that causes you to want to pat your foot a little bit. Maybe even clap your hands because they're, But the Bible said there's a different applause for a different person and purpose. Clap your hands, O you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We need to bring that up into a spiritual declaration of victory. A victory that was won over the enemy and in our behalf at an old rugged cross at Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend, clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Ruah! Hallelujah. Listen, dear friend, if you don't know Jesus today, you have nothing to worship about. There's no incentive. You may believe in God, but that's not the same as coming to Christ so that you can know God and be accepted by God. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior. The hour is late. The time is short. But God is working mightily, swiftly in these closing hours of time. Friend, you can be saved today. You can be delivered today. You can be set free today. You will be translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So as the song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come right now.